preach is entitled, Why Prayer Matters. Now, it's a coincidence you guys have been preaching and speaking about prayer and prayer for revival and all that. But this has got nothing to do with prayer for revival, although prayer has got everything to do with revival. So I'm not going to mention the word revival again. So please, if you got your Bibles with you, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And I will be referring to the New Testament as I share with you this morning. Why prayer matters. So Jesus was teaching on the Beatitudes. And a little bit earlier in verse 14, 15, he says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house." Then the scripture, which is on the board, "In the same way, let your light shine before others." Where it gives light to everyone in, "That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So let me just read that again. I messed it up. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and then glorify your Father in heaven." You see, God wants us to shine all the time. He wants us to carry His light. He doesn't want you just to shine. He wants you to be a carrier of His light. Because there's some people that are still walking in the darkness. They've never met Jesus. And the only light that they're going to get is you. He wants you to be the carriers of His light. He wants you to be the carriers of His mercy. He wants you to be His carrier of grace. And He wants you to be His carrier of love as well. So He wants you, when you stand in front of men, to shine. You know, there's something different about us Christians. You know, you can walk into a restaurant and a waiter is serving you, and you know automatically in your spirit, there's something different about this person. You can say to them, "I was in a restaurant on Friday with Christopher Nietling from our Durbanville PM congregation, and this lady that was serving us. I said to her, 'Excuse me, you are a Christian, aren't you?' She said, 'I love Jesus.'" And she's a beautiful black lady from Ethiopia. And she just shone Jesus. It was absolutely amazing just to see it. So I'll say it again. God doesn't only want us to be recipients of His love, mercy, grace, and His light, but He wants us to be carriers. So each one of us have a duty to carry God's light. Our problem is we come to church and we stop right there. We come into church, we say, "Okay, hopefully this word today is going to be just for me. I need a word. Maybe there's a prophetic word. Maybe there's a song that's going to tickle, you know, all my buttons, whatever it is. But I really want somebody to encourage me today because I need all the encouragement I can get." And that's good. You may get that. And I'm hoping that all of you are going to walk out here today with something. But God wants us not only to be recipients of whatever happens here, but He wants you to go out to shine His light. And He wants us to see and to believe that we are a vital link in His plans and purposes for other people's lives as well. And that's why He gives us this light, to be light carriers. Now, anybody can put their faith, their trust, and their hope in Jesus Christ. Anybody. It's not exclusive just for this Christian guy sitting here or standing here. It can be for anybody. You can be in the top 50 shakers and movers of this country. They can also put their faith, their hope, and their trust in Jesus Christ. It could be for the mayor of this town. It could be for anybody. Everybody that you know, and even the people you don't know, is a candidate to receive Jesus in their lives. Everybody. You could be the link, however, just by shining Jesus all the time. So I was thinking on the way here this morning, I wonder how many people will be affected by this message this morning. I wonder how many people's lives will be impacted by this message this morning. So this first three words I'm going to share with you, the one I've already done is shine. The second one is pray. And the third one is share. So it's S-P-S. If you've got a short memory, shine, prayer, share. Okay, remember that, SPS. And all three of these things will happen in your life if you ask God, God, I want to shine for you. God, I'm going to pray to you. God, I'm going to share. God will bring this about. So let's start off with the second word then. And let me say this. You can write this down if you're making notes, but it's very easy to remember. The kindest thing that you can do for anybody is to pray for them. You can do many other things, but the kindest thing that you can do for any person is to pray for their salvation. If you pray consistently, faithfully, and determinedly, that is the kindest thing that you could do for a person. It's the kindest thing you can do for your friends. It's the kindest thing you can do for your neighbor. It's the kindest thing you can do for your coworker, your boss, your colleagues, your peers, your relatives, your brothers or your sisters. It's the kindest thing that you can do. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 6 in the NIV. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for, say that again, for, no, I didn't hear all of you, for, so there's no exclusives there. It doesn't say, when you're praying, please exclude the following people: the president of this country, Julius Malema, Manchester United, or whoever. No, it says, intercession, thanksgiving be made for everyone. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. So if you, like, maybe your life's feeling like up and down at the moment, you're not settled in your own heart, you don't have any peace, maybe you should start praying for our government. It's God's word. He says that. Says there. Sorry, just go back again. For kings, okay, we don't have kings, but we do have a government. And all those in authority, they are authority over us, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. All the turmoil that's going on in our country at the moment. Just imagine if we consistently, persistently, and faithfully prayed for our government every day. Next verse. He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He doesn't say, I only want some men. Very important that. It's all men. All the people that are mentioned, your co-workers, your colleagues, your boss, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your siblings, whatever it may be. I want all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, and the testimony given in its proper time. Paul, in this letter to Timothy, urges us to pray for all men. I can't emphasize that enough. We've got to pray for all men, everywhere, all the time. Because, as I said early on, it's the kindest thing you can do. Now, we come to church and we say, yeah, but Kim, what about those who are hungry? Surely we shouldn't be praying for them, we should be feeding them. What about those who are naked? Surely we should be clothing them instead of praying for them. What about those who have been abandoned? Shouldn't we rescue them instead of praying for them? What about those who are trapped? Yes, those people who are trapped. And it could even be some of us that are trapped right now. Now we want you to be set free. But not only do we want to clothe the people, we want to pray for them as well. Not only if the person is hungry, we want to feed them, but we also want to pray for them. I was reminded of this the other day. You know, you often see these guys standing at traffic lights or stop streets with a board, please give me some money, God bless. And, you know, guiltily, sometimes we give them something and we drive off, trusting that they'll use that money wisely to go and buy some food instead of some drugs or alcohol or something. But have you ever considered, Lord, I'm going to bless this person with money to go and buy food, but give me the opportunity to preach the gospel to him. Let me share what you've done in my life with this man and what you can do for him. It's the kindest thing you can do for that guy. You think you're being kind and generous by giving him $10, $100, however much you've got on you. I loved your testimony, by the way. Gave up everything he had, and God blessed him 50 times over. Let me tell you what, when you give that over, God, give me an opportunity to share with this person. Let's do everything possible to set people free so that they can get into a relationship with God, our Father. You don't have to pick A or B. What do I do? Do I feed them or do I pray for them? You can do both. It's an option available to us. And so I'll give you quickly 5 reasons why we should pray. Very easy. Firstly, because you can. Amen? You can pray. Nobody's stopping you from praying, but guess what? Many of us struggle with our prayer lives. And I'll get into that a little bit later. You don't have to be a church leader to pray. You don't have to be a community leader. You don't have to lead a prayer group at work. You can just pray. Anywhere, anytime, any place. But the interesting thing is that when you start praying, you have a divine connection with God, our Father in heaven. And it came out early on, if you have like childlike faith, you can move the heart of God. Because he wants all men, all people to be saved. I love it. He says, just ask me. Just ask me. You don't have to know a person to pray for them. Isn't that cool? I mean, there's lots of people we don't know, but we can pray for them. You don't need their permission to pray for them. Hey, Ross, my bad. Hey, can I pray for you? I must tell you, I did try that once. I was walking on the beach in Malkpur Strand. Coming towards me, it was New Year's Day. I could see 2 policemen walking towards me. They were obviously on duty during the entire shift. And they're just getting some air. So I went up to the policeman, faithful. I said, excuse me, sir. I'm a pastor in the local church. Can I pray for you? No. And he turned around and he walked away. See, I asked him for permission and he said, no. I don't need his permission. That's why I said, you don't need to have their permission to pray for them. You don't have to notify them. Hey, Ross, somebody did it to me the other day. Sent me a voice message. Going through some issues. Not me. I'm mediating between 2 people that are having serious confrontation. It could have serious implications on the church, on Joshua's generation. And I'm busy mediating. And this one person got to hear about it, and he sends me a voice message. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And I'm sure that you will be able to sort your heart out when you go and see this person. It's like, I'm not even the guilty party. I'm the mediator. Why are you like? But you know, by notifying me that he's praying for me, he's saying, listen, I know what you're up to. I'm watching you. You better know that I'm aware of what you're all about. So you don't have to notify people when you're praying for them. You can just pray for them. And you know what? When you're praying for people, you can have instant influence over their lives. Instant influence. You should be clapping with that. I mean, thank you, Jesus. I can change that person. I can have influence over their lives. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, we think it's cool to know influential people. Like, you all want to hang around with Ross or Dylan or whatever, they're cool, you want to hang out with those guys, I want to be with all these people, they're in the right groups, whatever the case is. You don't have to be and hang around with influential people to influence people. You can just pray for them. You know what? You can have influence over the mayor of the city. Who knows what the mayor's name is? Anybody raise your hand? Check. Oh, that's bad. Huh? No. No. Dan Plato, there we go, there we go. We've got one guy here that knows who. You know what? You could have influence over Dan Plato, the mayor of the city, by praying for him. You don't have to know him. You don't have to tell him. But you can be praying for him. Lord, let this man be exposed to your grace, your mercy, and your love. We can pray for any politician. I mean, just imagine. Who knows Julius, our friend Julius Malema? Who knows him? Nobody knows him, but we all know of him. Guess what? Father, I want to lift Julius Malema up to you this morning. I pray, Lord, that his heart will change. I pray, Lord, for his salvation. I pray, Lord, that men, godly men, will come across his path. Lord, that his heart will change, that he will have a revelation of your mercy, your grace, and your love. Lord, he's such an influential man amongst many people in this country that words that he speaks will influence them to seek you, to love you, and to worship you. Change his life, Lord. Bring people into his life in Jesus' name. Instead of, I hate Julius Malema, this is actually destroying our country. Isn't that right? So we want to pray consistently, determinedly, and faithfully. And I want to get involved. I want to get involved in starting to pray for people now. Because why? I've got access to the divine throne of heaven. You know what? We have that little red telephone on our tables. God, it's me. Hello. I just want to lift old Ross up. I want to pray for his salvation, Lord. Why? Because I can and because I will. The second reason is God invites us to pray. Remember what he says? I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. So God invites us to participate in people's lives by praying for them. Now, I can't explain it. Now, some of you guys are seriously much smarter than what I am, like Dylan. I wouldn't say Ross, but certainly Dylan. But you think about this. There's not enough words in our vocabulary, in any dictionary, in any set of encyclopedias to explain the magnificence, the glory, and the greatness of who God is. It's impossible to explain how amazing God is. But yet somewhere along the line, he says, come, partner with me. I want you to be involved in changing and influencing some people's lives. He said, Lord, but how could you use me? I'm just a rotten sinner, saved by your grace and your mercy. He says, I know, but I need you to get involved in that person's story. I need you to get involved in that person's life. What a privilege. Think about this. Like the most influential person in this country, probably Sia Colossi right now. True story. Thabo Mbeki comes up to you and says, hey, listen, I want you to do this. Hey, Thabo's asked me to do something. I've got the backing of the president. Well, Cyril. Where does Thabo Mbeki come from? Cyril. Other one. It's just as bad as Dan Plata. And you get his endorsement, his backing. I mean, what a privilege, what an honor. Well, Cyril asked me to do X, Y, and Z. I've got the president's backing. Guess what? We have somebody greater, infinitely better, infinitely smarter. God. It's Kim. I want you to pray for all people, everywhere, all the time. You know, the interesting thing is, when you get to heaven one day, I don't think you're going to say, I should have been praying less. And when you're in heaven, guess what? You're not going to pray for people. It's too late. You can't pray for people's salvation in heaven. They're all there because they're saved. Hey, nice to see you, Ross. I need to pray for your salvation. It's like, that's why I'm here. I've been saved. But I know what we will be saying when we do get to heaven. Oh, Jesus came back too soon. There's no Netflix over here. I missed the series 4. I was about to catch season 4, series 4. And Jesus came and he took me away. Whoosh. Or alternatively, we would say, you know what? I should have eaten less. But we didn't. So, people, we can pray and intercede for people everywhere, all the time. The third reason is God is seeking them. I didn't give the guys this scripture, but Acts 17, 27, 20 says this. God who gives life and breath to all men, he determines the boundaries of our lives. Now, this is all men, eh? Why? So that we should search for him and find him, because he is not far from each of us. So it doesn't matter that you saved and then your mate, your boss, your colleague, whatever is standing next to you, God is there. God is searching for them. He wants every single person to be saved. He's got them in his radar. Acts 27 to 28. God is always moving towards those who don't know him. God doesn't turn his back on them. He says, no, not one of them will be lost. God doesn't say, oh, there's Herman, I'm going to turn my back on him. I don't want him to be saved. No, God is continuously reaching out. He says, come. That's why he's committed his life, because God, he felt God's touch, and somebody came and he committed his life to the Lord. You know, God has put eternity in the hearts of every man. Now, this is more applicable, this story, not the point, but this is more applicable to ladies than men. If I were to say to you, I've discovered a pill which will give you life forever. Good looks, you'll remain youthful, you're not going to get any lines, you're not going to sag, you're not going to expand. You're just going to look like me, like perfectly young all the time. Who would buy that pill? Come on, ladies, be honest. Even Dylan, eh? Like, I would. So I'm going to give you that pill. For those of you who want it, I could be a millionaire overnight. Each one of us carry this pill. It's called the gospel. Oh, you catch it. Why is it funny? It's not funny, it's actually quite serious. Because the gospel is going to give you eternity. And you're going to remain youthful. You're going to have a new body, a new life, and an awesome life in heaven without any tears. You're not going to get old in heaven. I'm going to be 6 foot tall, dark, and handsome. I can't wait. I always joke about this. I wonder one day I get in heaven, God's going to make me shorter than what I am, like a dwarf or something. I'm like, oh God, you got such a crazy sense of humor. You see, God is always seeking those who are lost. He doesn't want one person to perish. And the fourth point is, why do we pray for people? Because the devil wants to devour them and destroy their lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. It says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those people who are dying. In their case, the God, small g, of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let light shine out of darkness. That's you and I. It shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, Satan has every single person in his crosshairs. He wants to take them out. Now, it's okay for us to say, I got saved in October 2003. I've got my get out of jail or get out of hell card in my back pocket. And I walk around. Dylan's not saved. It's his problem. He's going to go to hell. He's going to burn. But I'm okay. No, no, God says no. I want all men to be saved. Because he knows that Satan has a plan and a purpose for this person. A plan to destroy his life, to ruin it, to create all kinds of issues in his life, unhappiness, to draw him away from God. And particularly those people who aren't saved. He's just going to make their lives a misery. He wants to destroy people. And then the fifth reason, prayer changes things. Let me repeat that. When you pray, things change. Prayer changes things. If we could see what happens in heaven when we start praying. Our problem is this. Father, are you here? I'm so tired. I had such a late night. I don't know if you ever hear my prayers. Bing! Hang on, God. That's my phone. It's very important. Let me just go and see. And we move on. That's how some of us pray. We laugh and we snigger and everything. When you pray, now I pray on my way to work in the mornings as I'm driving my car. As you hear, and the taxi cuts you off and I'm busy praying to God. No, you did. Sorry, God. Sorry about that. You know. If you knew and could see what happens in the heavens when we pray, we will never cease. In other words, we'll never stop praying. God says, when you start praying, when you just ask me that, I just dispatched angels across the heavens. When you ask that, I shifted kingdom plans. When you ask that, darkness was weakened. When you ask that, the enemy was destroyed. When you ask me that, a connection just happened across the world. When you ask me that, a doorway just opened. When you see these things happening, you'll never stop praying. And because we don't pray, we don't see doors opening. We don't see people's hearts and lives changing. So yeah, God knows. He knows everything. He's almighty. He's sovereign. He's supreme. Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He should just do these things. But unless we ask him. And when we start praying for people, guess what happens? We are in his will. In his good and perfect will. We could pray for a new Ferrari, a new motorbike, a new house. Everything out of his will. If he wants to give it to you, he will. But let me tell you what, if you want to pray in his perfect will, I'm praying for Ross. That is in his will because he wants Ross to be saved. It's in his will. That's when heaven starts moving. Things start shifting. Darkness is destroyed. And many of us pray this prayer, Lord, please just help Ross. Please just help Dylan. Please just help whoever. Oh, we all pray those prayers. And I must be perfectly honest this week. I pray for many people. Lord, can you help that person? But the kindest prayer that you could pray for somebody is, Lord, you have to do something. I don't know what to pray for that person, Father. But could you reveal your heart to that person? Could you reveal the power of your cross in that person's life? Could you reveal your mercy and your grace in that person's life? Lord, can they find you? I want to pray for their salvation, Father. Many times we want to pray for their marriage, their health, and those are good things to pray for. But the best thing you can pray for is their salvation. The other thing, the final thing before we move on to the last point, the last word which was shared. Have you ever noticed when you're praying for somebody, how your attitude towards that person changes and their attitude towards you changes. So let's say, well, Bill over here is giving me a hard time. Him and I have had a couple of words. We had some differences, whatever the case is. My heart begins to harden towards him. Like, I start, like, I'm going to avoid him. Just like, I don't want to be in his space. You know, he's a little bit prickly. I'm a little bit prickly. He hasn't had enough sleep. Hike has been keeping up all night. I'll just, like, stay out of his way. Versus, Father, you said I need to guard my heart and protect the unity between believers. He's my brother, and I need to show brotherly love towards him. Lord, I want to pray for his salvation. I want to pray for your love, your grace, and your mercy over him. Suddenly, he starts shifting his heart, and my heart towards him starts shifting. It's difficult to pray for somebody when you don't love them. But God invites us to do that. The final word, remember I said shine. So we want to be the light in darkness. We could be the only light that can lead people to Jesus. The second word was pray. Pray, pray, pray. Never stop praying. Remember what I said? If you could see what happens in heaven, when you are praying, you'll never stop praying. So I want to encourage you, never stop praying. And the final word is share. So when we're praying for somebody, so I'm going to pray, let's say for Ross. Ross doesn't know Jesus. I'm going to pray for him. Lord, I want to pray for Ross's salvation. I don't leave it there. I've got to pray. Lord, I want to pray for Ross's salvation. Will you please give me an opportunity to share with Ross? If I don't share with Ross, how's he going to know about it? So I put this to test the other day. I pray for my three kids every single day. They're not saved. Samantha, Tamsin, Shannon, my son-in-law, Craig. I pray for them. And I pray for my grandchildren every day. So I said, Lord, okay, I'm going to put this to test. I'm going to pray for Sam. She's local. And Tam, she goes to school. She's a school teacher. So I said, Lord, I pray for Samantha. Lord, I pray for her salvation. I pray, Lord, that you will reveal your heart to her. But Lord, I want to pray to you that you give me an opportunity to share with her. I get up. Normally, I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I do quiet time 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, and then I go to gym from 6 o'clock until about 8 o'clock. As I'm walking out of gym with my bag, guess who I bump into? Sam, my daughter. God created that opportunity. You see, when you ask God, you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be stunned because there's going to be a suddenly when you start praying. Lord, I need to pray for, I want to share with Ross. Ross is going to be in your face. Whoa, that happened quickly. How did that happen? God intervenes. God makes it happen because he wants somebody to share with you. He doesn't just want to like, okay, I've just prayed for that person. That's good. He needs somebody to share with you. Now, in some cases, I said this the other day, you know, I got saved at the age of 47, and I don't believe that I do believe my mom prayed for me, and that's why I am saved. Maybe one or two other people that I'm not aware of, because not everybody will tell you that they pray for you. I don't believe that my mom at the age of, let's say, 46 and a half, woke up one day and said, I better pray for Kim. I believe my mom was praying for me from a very early age. Probably from the age of 5 or 6, maybe 7 or 8, I don't know. But she prayed consistently, fervently, determinedly until I got saved. Billy Graham, we all know Billy Graham. He was one of 5 boys. His father died at a very old age, and he ever saw 3 of them coming to the Lord. He was also a Christian man. But he passed the baton on. He said, yeah. To his best friend, he said, listen, my 2 youngest boys are not saved yet. Will you keep on praying for them? I've been praying for the last 58 years for my son's salvation. 3 of them have committed their lives to the Lord or serving the Lord right now. But my 2 youngest boys are still not committed their lives to the Lord. He passed the baton on. And his friend picked up the baton, prayed for another 15 years. And at the age of 19 years old, Billy Graham got saved. So we've got to pray consistently, fervently, and determinedly for people that we know. We need to pray for them by name. So how do we do this? Now I said we need to share. So how do we share? How do we share? Now, some of you might, you know, I said the kindest thing you can do is pray for somebody's salvation. Okay, but how? How do we do this? You see, we need to tell people why we are different, not why they are different. It's a problem with most of us in church at the moment. We like to say, Ross, you need to change. I don't like this. I don't like that. You need to change this, whatever the case is. And people say, you guys in church are just a bunch of Bible bashers. You hypocrites. You heathen, whatever the case is. You're always, what? You're always criticizing us non-believers. That's not the way to share, guys. That's not the way to share. What we've got to do is say, listen, if you knew my life before I got saved, before I committed my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, to see what he's done in me. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be an adulterer. I used to be this. I used to be that. But God has, in the process of me surrendering my life to him, started transforming me. He started changing me. I have a peacefulness about me. I don't stress about anything. I have a joy. We spoke about joy early on. Well, I have a joy inside of me that I never had before. Share what God has done in your life. Not what he needs to do in that person's life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says this. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. Oh, now for some of us, that might sound like a whole whack of pressure. Always be prepared. So you're going to go out, pick up your Bible, your thesaurus, your study notes, this, and you're going to walk around. I'm always prepared. I'm always ready to give an answer. And you've got a little trailer behind you, a little fender trailer. If anybody asks me, I know. That's not what he means here. A little bit further on, it says, always be prepared to do one thing, to give an answer to everyone who asked you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. Now, you don't need to walk around in your little fence or trailer or a number of books on your arm to be able to give an answer why you are saved. I can give an answer why I'm saved, but I'll give you a good example. So my gorgeous wife, she asked me not to share this, but I'm going to share this. I'm going to get into trouble when I get home. So, this year, my wife has lost in excess of 10 kgs already. She's looking hot. Now, she walked in here today, and let's say, Heike says to her, or Margot says to her, hey, Laureen, wow, you're looking amazing. What did you do? She didn't say, hang on. I want to go home. I'll get back to you next Thursday. Because I've just got to go and Google what I've been up to. I've got to go and do some research. I've got to go and study. I want to get some notes out. I'm going to bring a record of everything that I've done. And then next Thursday when I'm with you, I'll be able to give you an answer. No, she came in. Yeah, she's prepared. My girl, Heike says to Laureen, you're looking absolutely amazing. What did you do? She says, well, I've been going to Zumba, I've been doing drum classes, and I've been on a keto diet, and I've just unbelievably shed a lot of weight. And she's going, oh, you look great. You see, so she's always prepared. She's able to give an answer like that. You see, people are far more interested in transformation than they are in information. So you could see there's a transformed life over there. There's a transformed life standing in front of you. I mean, none of you would want to have been in a room with me 20 years ago. God has transformed my life. Now, I could turn around and say, listen, we need to get into the deeper, more serious, more heavy things about Christianity. Let's talk about Calvinism and Arminianism, and let's talk about once saved, always saved. Let's talk about what? That's not going to convince a person. But what's going to convince the person is when they say to you and say, listen, you've changed, what's different about you? I was at gym the other day and somebody said to me, excuse me, you're different. There's something different about you. And I was like flexing my muscles and everything. I must tell you that I've got an amazing spiritual gift. I'm always talking about losing weight and I notice everybody starts pulling in their stomachs and everything. I've got this amazing spiritual gift. I don't know if you've noticed that when I preach, I can preach the whole session and keep my stomach pulled in. So this person says to me, there's something different about you. She wasn't like the most gorgeous looking lady. She's an older lady. So I said to her, I'm a pastor. I'm a reborn Christian. She said, I knew it. I'm so glad that there's a godly man in this house. You see, will people be able to see the difference in you? Or are you just going to blend into the world and they don't know that you are a reborn Christian, that the light of Christ is not shining in you? How many times have people come and said to you, you are different. There's something different about you. And then that's your opportunity to share. I can tell you why I'm different. Let's have a coffee. I can tell you what God has been doing in my life. He's taken me out of darkness and put me in light. He's given me a peacefulness. He's given me a joy. I mean, you can't believe I used to watch porn. No, I don't even look at that stuff anymore. I used to do this and now I'm doing that. It's nothing I've done. It's by His mercy. It's by His grace. It's by His love. I mean, Jesus is the most amazing thing that's happened to me. And the person sitting there like, he's going to say, give me some of that. If you can change, I can change. So I didn't hit him with a big floppy, large letter Bible. A transformed life is what he saw. Have you seen those TV commercials? Now, many of us fall into the trap. Watch it on TV. This is a treadmill. You're not going to buy a treadmill. I'm going to lose weight. I'm determined to do this. Because the person that they get up there looks like Ross, you know, buff and muscles and lean and guns and everything. He said, I want to look like Ross. I'm going to buy that treadmill. And you buy the treadmill, and then after 1 month, it's a clothes Ross. Come on, who's done that? Yeah, I see. You see, and then you look at that, now that's not going to work, but maybe that's going to work. Nah, I've heard all these stories. But unless you see the evidence of a transformed life, you're not going to buy it. And you see the evidence of people that's sitting here, transformed lives. That's what's going to change other people that don't know Jesus. Jesus wants us to shine. He wants us to pray. And He wants us to share. Can you see how normal this is, guys? Not a difficult thing. God is not asking us to do a difficult thing. It's like, hey, I never knew you were going to ask me this today. I need to go home. I need to do some research. No, we're always ready to give an answer. God desires all men to be saved. All men. There's not one person that you can think of right now that God's going to say, whoops. You know, that one came out as bad. He's a mistake. I don't want him in heaven. He's going to spoil heaven. Now, God wants all people to be saved. You see, you become an expert witness. An expert witness of the change that is taking place in your lives. And that becomes your irrefutable argument. Yeah, but you always hear, yeah, but. Now, but look at me. Look what God has done in my life. It's your irrefutable. You, the expert wisdom. Look at me. I've been in situations. I was working for Calvin Klein, and I went to a hotel. We were sleeping over. We're doing sales in Johannesburg. And a group of people that I used to work with in the Fashini group, they happened to stay in the same hotel. Now, I hadn't seen these guys for about 10 years. I'd already got saved. I was leading Milnerton as a church at that point in time, and as the people walked in, they said, Kim, is that you? I said, that's me. Why, you're so different. What changed? There's a glow about you. That's Jesus Christ in me that's changed. And I was able to share with them what Jesus has done in my life. Nothing. I can't take credit for any changes in my life, by the way. Laureen may be able to take some credit. Don't do that. Don't do this. No, I'm joking. So can you see how beautiful this all is? Now I'm going to ask you guys very quickly. Shine, pray, and share. We have this little double cylinder container with ping pong balls in. When last did you pray for the person whose name you wrote on a ping pong ball and dropped it in there? When last? I remember we got excited about this a year ago when Andrew introduced us. Oh, this is exciting. And we wrote names on there, Cassie, Jen, Pierre, Mike. See their names over there. When last did you pray for those people? Did you pray? Are you praying for them daily? Daily? Fervently? Intentionally? Oh, Lord. Cassie, Mike, Jen, I pray for them, Lord, that they come to salvation. Lord, give me the opportunity to share with them. You know, I can shine your glory when I'm with them. I'm going to ask you right now, just close your eyes. Now, you may be here for the first time today, so I need to ask you. Somebody has been praying for you. That's why you're here today, if you don't know Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He gave his life so that we could all spend our lives in eternity with him, where there's no more death, there are no more tears, there's no more sickness. We're not going to age, as I said earlier on. We're all built and been developed with a yearning in our hearts for eternal life. And God is offering you that opportunity right now. He's saying, my son, I love you, or daughter, I love you so much that I gave my only son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice so that you could spend eternity in heaven with me. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter who you think you are, what people say you are. I still love you as a child. I want every person in this place to come to know me.